Welcome back to the Clown Cast, everybody. Episode 158. And today we're talking about something that honestly blew my mind when I started digging into it.
Oh,
that's you, I fell down a research hole at 2 a.m. voice.
Guilty. So here's the setup. Union membership in America peaked in 1957 at 37%. Today it's 10%. In the private sector, 6%. Unions are basically an endangered species.
That's not great.
But here's the twist. NLRB union election petitions jumped 27% between 2023 and 2024. And surveys show 60 million American workers say they'd join a union if they could. So the desire is there. The infrastructure isn't.
So people want unions, they just can't get them. That's like wanting to order pizza, but nobody delivers to your house.
And that metaphor is more accurate than you think, because a huge chunk of the workers we're talking about literally deliver things for a living. Gig workers, DoorDash drivers, Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, and the whole gig economy was designed, and I mean designed, intentionally, to make organizing almost impossible.
How so?
Think about what made traditional unions work. You're in a factory, you see the same faces every day, you eat lunch together, you complain about the foreman together. Physical proximity creates solidarity naturally. Now imagine your workplace is your car. Your coworkers are invisible strangers driving different routes. You never meet anyone, and your boss isn't even a person. It's an algorithm.
That's so isolating.
That's the point. The platforms atomize their workforce by design. You're classified as an independent contractor, so you don't get labor protections. There's no break room. There's no water cooler. The algorithm is the boss, and it doesn't hold town halls.
Okay, so this sounds hopeless, but you've got that look, so clearly someone figured something out.
Someone figured something out. And this is where it gets wild, so I want you to think about Cyberpunk 2077 for a second. Or Neuromancer, if you're old school.
Oh, we're going to Night City.
We're going to Night City. So in Cyberpunk, you've got these megacorporations that control everything, right? And the Netrunners, these hackers, they don't fight the corporations from outside. They jack into the corporate network itself. They're inside the system, using the system's own architecture against it. The corporation's greatest strength, its interconnected digital infrastructure, becomes its greatest vulnerability, because you can't lock out the Netrunners without locking out your own operations.
And the gig workers are the Netrunners in this metaphor.
Exactly, because here's the thing. The platform is the workplace. The workers are already inside the network. They're already jacked in. And some of them figured out they could hack it from within. The best example is a movement called Decline Now. Started in 2020, two DoorDash drivers from Pennsylvania, just two people, built a forum that grew to 40,000 members.
40,000? From two drivers?
From two drivers. And what they did was essentially reverse engineer DoorDash's pricing algorithm through trial and error, like actual Netrunners probing corporate ICE. They figured out that when a driver declines an order, the algorithm bumps the pay offer and sends it to the next driver. So if enough drivers collectively refuse orders below a certain threshold, $7 was their line, the algorithm is forced to keep increasing the offer until someone accepts.
Wait, that's a distributed denial service attack on a food delivery app.
That's literally what it is. They DDoS the algorithm. Each individual decline is meaningless. But 40,000 people all following the same rule. The system can't find cheap labor anymore. Base pay goes up system-wide.
That is so elegant and kind of hilarious. Like, the algorithm was designed to find the cheapest possible driver, and they just broke that function.
They broke it from inside. Classic Netrunner move. But here's where DoorDash went full corpo. And I mean Arisaka levels of corpo. They responded by hiding tip amounts from drivers.
No.
Yes, before. You could see the full payout before accepting. After Decline Now started working, DoorDash started hiding tips so drivers couldn't calculate whether an order met the threshold. They deployed ICE, intrusion countermeasures. The Netrunners breached the system, so the corporation recoded the walls.
That's actually kind of terrifying when you put it that way. The platform can just change the rules of reality whenever workers figure out the game.
And that's the fundamental asymmetry. Unlike a factory owner who is to hire actual Pinkertons, you know, physical people to physically intimidate workers. A gig platform can algorithmically retaliate, shadow ban organizers, throttle their order flow, manipulate their schedules. No human decision maker to hold accountable. academic research actually identified four specific tactics. They call them the four S's: surveillance, spacing, screaming, and scatting.
That sounds like a punk band, the four S's.
Surveillance is monitoring social media and private Facebook groups for union talk. Spacing is algorithmically manipulating schedules so organizers never work the same shifts. Screaming is captive audience meetings delivered through mandatory app notifications. You literally can't use the app to work until you watch the anti-union content. And scabbing is instantly replacing organized workers with new contractors through the platform.
Walmart uses some of this stuff, right?
Walmart and 29 other Fortune 100 companies use what they call union vulnerability indexes to identify and terminate potential organizers before elections even happen. 60% of large employers now use workplace monitoring tools. This is surveillance capitalism applied to labor suppression.
Okay, I need a second because this is heavy. So on one side you've got workers netrunning the algorithm, and on the other side you've got corporations deploying increasingly sophisticated countermeasures. Where does it go from here?
This is where I want to switch metaphors on you, because the netrunner frame explains the adversarial dynamic really well, but it doesn't explain why Decline Now's specific strategy was so powerful. For that, I want to talk about Hunter x Hunter.
Oh, we're pulling out the anime. I'm listening.
So in Hunter x Hunter, there is a power system called None. And one of the most interesting mechanics is what they call vows and limitations. The basic idea is that you can make your NEN abilities dramatically more powerful by imposing strict conditions on yourself. The more restrictive the vow, the greater the power you gain. Kirpika's chain abilities are the classic example. He makes a vow that he can only use his strongest ability against the Phantom Troop, and if he breaks the vow, he dies. That restriction is what makes the ability so overwhelmingly powerful.
So the restriction itself is the source of the power. That's counterintuitive.
It's deeply counterintuitive. And it's exactly what Decline Now did. The $7 floor isn't flexible. It isn't use your judgment or try to get a good deal. It's a bright line. A vow. Decline everything below $7. No exceptions. And that rigidity, that self-imposed limitation, is paradoxically what makes the collective action work. Because if the rule were flexible, everyone would rationalize exceptions. Well, this one's close to my house. Well, I need the money today. The vow eliminates individual decision-making and creates collective power.
Oh, that's actually brilliant. The more you restrict yourself, the stronger the group becomes. Because the restriction removes the temptation to defect.
Exactly. It's an end vow. And you can see the same mechanic in other labor actions. The Starbucks Workers United campaign. They organized over 600 stores. And in February 2024, 21 stores announced their intent to unionize on social media simultaneously. Same day, the coordination was the weapon. The announcement itself was the organizing tactic. 21 vows spoken at once.
Like Kurapika deploying chain jail on 21 Phantom Troop members at the same time.
That image works pretty well, actually. And the Amazon Teamsters strike in December 2024 went from 47 workers at one facility to 600 workers across 8 facilities coast to coast in 5 days. 5 days. That pace of expansion is impossible without digital coordination.
Okay, so I want to push back a little here. Because we talked about this kind of thing back in the unpaid labor episode, right? Episode 149. Where we were looking at how work gets devalued. But in that episode, the system was sort of winning. People were grinding for free and nobody was fighting back. What changed?
Great callback. And you're right. That episode was about how the grind gets normalized. This one is about what happens when people realize they're grinding and decide to organize against it. And the answer is tools, the same digital infrastructure that atomizes workers. The apps, the group chats, the social platforms, also gives them the ability to coordinate without a central command. Remember when we talked about bureaucracy back in episode 99? The formal union structure is slow, bureaucratic, but durable. What we're seeing now is the opposite, fast, flexible, but fragile.
Fragile how?
And this is important, because I don't want to make this sound like a fairy tale. The research shows these online communities can fracture solidarity just as easily as they build it. Competitive undercutting, scab recruitment, racial and ethnic divisions, they all emerge in the same group chats that are supposed to be building power. The r/anti-work subreddit is the cautionary tale. It grew 279% in 2021. Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs cited it in a research note about labor force participation. Members literally crashed Kellogg's job application website by spam submitting fake applications during a strike.
That's incredible.
It is, but the subreddit's most famous moment was a disastrous Fox News interview with the moderator, who went on live television completely unprepared and nearly destroyed the entire community overnight. Online solidarity, without offline infrastructure as well. It's powerful, but it's glass. It's slacktivism, with better memes until it isn't.
So it's like building your nen ability, but not training your body.
You've got this powerful vow, but if your physical foundation is weak, you crumble.
Perfect analogy. Which brings me to the third metaphor. And this one's from StarCraft.
Real-time strategy. We're going full gamer today.
So think about the Zerg. Individually, a Zergling is nothing. It's the weakest unit in the game. But the Zerg don't fight as individuals. They operate through swarm intelligence. No single Zergling knows the battle plan. There's no general giving orders to each unit. Instead, they follow simple local rules. Attack what's nearby. Reinforce the cluster. Follow the creep. And those simple rules produce emergent coordination that overwhelms even the most sophisticated Protoss defenses.
The decline now thing is literally a Zerg rush.
It's literally a Zerg rush. No central command, no formal union, just a shared rule. Decline below $7. That produces collective behavior when enough units follow it. The algorithm responds to the swarm, not to individuals. And this is why platforms struggle to counter it. You can ban one account, you can deactivate one driver, but you can't deactivate 40,000 drivers following a rule you can't see.
Unless you change the rules of the game, which is what DoorDash did with the tip hiding thing.
Right, and that's the Terran response to a Zerg rush. Bunker up and change the terrain. But here's the real-world payoff of all the swarming, netrunning, nan-vowing organizing. In May 2026, like 2 months ago, Massachusetts certified the App Drivers Union to represent approximately 70,000 Uber and Lyft drivers. This is the largest private sector union recognition since the UAW organized Ford in 1941.
Wait, 1941? We haven't seen something like this in 85 years.
85 years, and the organizing happened through this hybrid model. Airport parking lots, car washes, churches, and digital outreach. The state actually shared contact lists of active drivers after a 2024 ballot measure that set a lower threshold. Only 25% of active drivers had to sign on, compared to the traditional 50+1 for NLRB elections. They're now in a 6-month bargaining window with Uber and Lyft. If no deal, it goes to binding arbitration.
So this is the test case. This is the boss fight.
This is the boss fight for gig worker collective bargaining nationwide. Chicago drivers also reached an agreement with Uber supporting state-level unionization legislation after 6+ years of grassroots organizing. Things are actually moving.
I mean, you know what strikes me about all this?
The platforms designed the isolation. They built the atomization into the product, but they also built the network. And you can't give people a network and then be surprised when they use it to talk to each other.
That's the fundamental irony. The gig economy gave workers smartphones, internet connections, and algorithmic efficiency. All the tools you need to organize a swarm. You gave the Zerg creep to spread on. You gave the netrunners a network to run in. What did you think was going to happen?
Okay, but I have to ask the hard question. Is Decline Now actually a union or is it a cartel? Because independent contractors collectively manipulating an algorithm to raise prices, that sounds like it could be price fixing, legally speaking.
That's the legal gray zone that nobody's resolved. Without formal union protection, collective refusal by independent contractors could theoretically be prosecuted as price fixing under antitrust law. The nen vow is powerful, but it's not sanctioned by the system. If these workers were classified as employees, it's protected concerted activity under the National Labor Relations Act. As independent contractors, it's murkier. The NLRB 2023 worker classification standard opened a legal pathway for reclassification, but that standard is politically fragile and could reverse with a change in administration.
So the vow's power depends on the legal framework recognizing it. Curupica's chains only work if the Hunter Association says they are legal.
Exactly. And that's why the Massachusetts win matters so much. It's the first formal framework that says, yes, these gig workers can collectively bargain. The swarm gets official recognition. The vow gets sanctioned power.
Man.
Okay, so just to recap, workers who were deliberately isolated by platform design built their own infrastructure using group chats and subreddits, reverse engineered the algorithm that controls their pay, invented a simple collective rule that functions as a DDoS attack on the pricing system, survived corporate counterattacks including tip hiding and surveillance, and ultimately scored the biggest private sector union win in 85 years.
That's the run. Netrunners, who made Nen vows and launched a Zerg rush from three different media but the same structural story. Small, decentralized units following simple rules can overwhelm systems designed to suppress them, as long as they find a way to coordinate.
I love that.
The platform is the battlefield, the weapon, and the opponent all at once. It's like if the arena in a fighting game was also trying to kill you.
And the fighters figured out the arena has bugs you can exploit.
Speech and labor rights.
I mean, the two DoorDash drivers from Pennsylvania who started this, they basically found a glitch in the economy and published a strategy guide.
A strategy guide that 40,000 people read. And the beautiful thing is that the knowledge is the weapon. Once you understand how the algorithm responds to collective declining, you can't unknow it. The Netrun is in the code now.
So what's next? Where does this go after Massachusetts?
Well, the bargaining window is ticking. If Uber and Lyft don't reach a deal, it goes to binding arbitration. Other states are watching closely. Chicago's already moving. But I think the bigger story is something we haven't really talked about yet. What happens when AI gets involved on both sides? Because right now, algorithms manage workers and workers hack algorithms. But what happens when the algorithm starts predicting the swarm? When the corporate ICE doesn't just react to netrunners, but anticipates them?
Predictive union busting. That's dark.
Union vulnerability indexes already exist. 30 Fortune 100 companies used them. Now imagine those powered by actual machine learning. But flip side, imagine workers with AI tools that can analyze algorithmic patterns in real time and coordinate responses automatically. It becomes an AI arms race inside the labor market.
That's a whole episode.
That might be the next episode, the algorithmic arms race, when the boss is AI and the union rep is also AI. And neither side is a human making the call. We'll see where the research takes us.
I'm fascinated and slightly terrified, as usual.
That's the sweet spot. All right, everybody. That's episode 158. If you like this one, share it with someone who drives for Gig App, or, you know, someone who orders from one. Thanks for listening.
Say weird, stay organized, and decline below $7. Peace.